292. Okay. The pasuk begins. Ve'ele shmeis b'nei Yisrael abayim Mitzrayma. These are the names of the Jewish nation that came to Mitzrayim. Eis Yaakov, together with Yaakov. Ishu Beisi Bo, each man and his family came. That is the simple meaning of the pasuk. That these are the names of the Jews that came into Egypt. Together with Yaakov, each man came with his family. So Rashi right away asks the simple question, when the Jews came into Egypt, they were already counted. Why is the Torah counting them again? So Rashi answers to teach us that the Jews are like the stars, that because Hashem loves the Jews so much, He counts them like He counts the stars, like it says, Meina mispa lekechovim, l'chulem shemei sikra, that Hashem calls names and counts the stars and calls names to all the stars. So therefore, it's the Jews are being likened to stars as far as constantly recounting the Jews. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. If you take the mafashim a little bit deeper, there's a number of questions over here in this pasuk. Number one, the pasuk says ve'ele shmeis. We know Rashi says in Mishpatim that when there's a new beginning, it says ele. When it's a continuation of before, it says ve'ele, and these are. In Hebrew, the letter vav, it is called vav achibur, the letter vav that connects the earlier and the later. If Shmeis begins a brand new sefer, it begins a brand new book, so it should say, Eile Shmeis b'nei Yisrael. Or like we say, Eile hadvarim ashadibim meishe. It doesn't start with a ve'eile hadvarim, it says Eile hadvarim. So why over here does it say ve'eile? So in Mefashim have a lot of discussion about this. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that ve'eile means that even though in the book of Bereishis, basically, the emphasis were on Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, in Shmos begins the emphasis on the tribes, on the children. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, Ve'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael, meaning just like the patriarchs Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were tzaddikim, so Ve'ele, and these are the names of b'nei Yisrael, they were also tzaddikim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and so on. That's one interpretation. The Klei Yaakov brings down a number of interpretations. And he says, Ve'ele Shmeis b'nei Yisrael aboy Mitzrayim is taka, a continuation to what we learned before. The last pasuk in Bereishis, the last few pasukim in Bereishis, discusses Yosef's death, Yosef's passing. So now the pasuk says, Ve'ele Shmeis b'nei Yisrael aboy Mitzrayim. And this is in sequence to another question that the Klei Yaakov asks. Haboim means who are coming, present tense. Then the pasuk concludes, Ishu Vesei Bo'u, past tense that they came. So he said basically the pasuk starts off by saying these are the names of the Jews that are coming to Egypt, Haboim, which means are coming, present. And then the pasuk concludes, Ishu Vesei Bo'u, each man in this house came, past tense. So he says this is what the pasuk is explaining as follows. As long as Yosef was alive, as long as Yaakov was alive, the Jews were treated very well in Egypt. Now that Yosef died, and obviously we learned 57 years before that Yaakov Avinu passed away, so once Yosef died, the slavery really began. In other words, like we learned, the slavery in Egypt was as follows. The Jews were in Egypt, even though Hashem told Avraham Avinu 400 years, the Jews ended up to be in Egypt for 210 years. From those 210 years, there are different stages. For the first, it was basically a cheshbon of 52 years after Yaakov died. Okay, the Jews didn't feel any slavery. After Yosef died 52 years after Yaakov Avinu died. So I'm saying, after Yosef died, the Jews began feeling slavery. Like we're going to learn in the Psukim, that the king of Egypt said, he didn't know Yosef, let's go, you know, put him into slavery. The last 80 years of Egypt, 85 years of Egypt, was the bitter slavery of Egypt. Okay? The real hardcore slavery in Egypt was only the last 85 years when Miriam was born. When Miriam was born, it says, why was she called Miriam? Because Miriam comes to the word mar, bitterness. So after, as long as Yaakov and Yosef were alive, there was basically no slavery in Egypt. Then after Yosef died, slavery began. And then, the last 85 years were the worst. So that's what the Kli Yoker explains as follows. Ve'eile shmeiz b'nei Yisrael, because it's connected to the death of Yosef, that's why Haboyim Mitzrayimah, it felt as if they came now to Egypt. Because now began the slavery. So he's connecting both things together. Because ve'eile, it's connected to Yosef's death, so therefore it was counted Haboyim Mitzrayimah that they're coming now. Then the pasuk says, Ishu Beisibo, they came a long time ago. That's one interpretation. Then the Kli Yoker says another interpretation. Who is Ishu Beisibo? Each man in his house. Who is that? So it says, Ish is God. Ubeise refers to God's bezdin of angels. What does it mean? We say in davening, Hashem Ish Milchama. God is a man of milchama. Ish refers to God. Ubeisei refers to bedin, the din of Hashem. Why? So he says, because they came down to make sure that they, what he wanted, like Hashem told Avram Avinu, Meshe Rabbeinu later on, that Hashem promised Avram Avinu, the Jews are going to be slaves for a long time, and then they're going to go out with a lot of money. Right? Does he promise he's going to go out with a lot of money? So Shem and his Beis Din came down to Egypt to make sure that everything was done according to plan. So he learns simply, Ishu Beisibo refers to God, God in his Beis Din. Then there's another interpretation over here that the Balaturim brings down a number of interesting interpretations. If you take the word Ve'ele Shmeis B'nei Yisrael, okay, it's Haboyim, I'm sorry, forget the first word. If you take Shmeis B'nei Yisrael Haboyim, it's Shin Beis Yud Hei, means Shivya, slavery. So the Kli Yoker says the following, Ve'ele Shmeis B'nei Yisrael Haboyim, that even in Golus, in slavery, they kept a Jewish name. What does this mean? The Medrash says that the Jews merited to leave Egypt in three mitzvahs that they did. They didn't change their names. They kept the Jewish names. They kept the Jewish language. They didn't speak Arabic. They kept speaking Yiddish. And they also didn't change their garments. They wore the black hats and, you know, the Shtreimlach and all that. Now, because of that, that they didn't change their name, they didn't change their clothing, they didn't change their language, the Jews merited to leave Egypt.
So, at that time?
Huh? The only problem, I really stand to be corrected. They were all Chabadniks, they didn't wear Shtreimlach. Now, so it says, the Kli Yoker says, Shin, Beis, Yud Hei is Shivya, which means that even in slavery, they kept Shmeis B'nei Yisrael, they kept the Jewish names. That's one meaning. Another thing is, he says, the Kli Yoker, that the last pasuk of Bereishis says, Vayamas Yosef, and then it says, Ve'ele Shmeis B'nei Yisrael. So he said, what did the Yosef command the Jews? That they shouldn't change their names. Huh? No, Farsi. Now you understand. Now, also, it says in the Medrash, and here's contradictory Medrashim, by the way. Did the Jews in Egypt keep Shabbos? And did they do Bris Milah? So here the Balaturim says, if you take the words, the fourth word, Yisrael Habayim. Take the word Yisrael and Habayim. So take the first and last letter of Yisrael is Yud and Lamed. The first and last letter of Habayim is Hey and Mem. If you have Mem, Yud, Lamed, Hey, it's Mila. Which means Habayim Mitzrayimah, that even in Egypt, they did Bris Mila, they did circumcision. Then he says, if you take the word Eis Yaakov Ish, and take the last letters of Eis is a Saf, Yaakov is a Beis, Ish is Shin, it's the letters Shabbos. That they kept Shabbos in Egypt. Okay? That means, because the Jews kept Shabbos, and they kept circumcision, in that merit they left Egypt. This obviously contradicts another medrash that says that the Jews in Egypt did not do circumcision, and the extent that they didn't do circumcision, that when they came that night to leave Egypt, Hashem told them, you didn't do a bris, you can't eat from the Paschal lamb. So therefore, they had a problem. So according to that medrash, they didn't do bris. According to this medrash, they did do circumcision. And the truth is, they both are right. Because the tribe of Levi did do circumcision, and the other tribes didn't. So some did, some didn't. So that's this concept. Yes, sir. No, they all followed Chabad custom. There's only one custom.
Chabad follow our custom.
It's we're not getting any
ideas.
Am I in the Chabad shul?
Either the rabbis or the hybrid.
Okay.
No, but did they have different minhagim?
Yes. Each one of the shvatim. No, the truth is as follows. Each one of the shvatim had their own unique way of serving Hashem. And that's why the Gemara says the expression "En kaden avos ela l'shleisha." Patriarchs are only three. We say Avram Avinu, Yitzchok Avinu, Yaakov Avinu. We don't say Reuven Avinu, Shimon Avinu, Levi Avinu. Why? Because Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov, every Jew is connected to Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov. When it came to the tribes, the people from Reuven had their own way, unique way of serving God. Shimon had their own way of serving God. Levi had their own way of serving God. What does it mean? So it's interesting because the Kleyakar also mentions that Reuven comes in the word Ra'oi Ra'isi Es Ani Ami. Hashem said, I've seen the affliction. Shimon is Vayishma Elokim Es Na'akosam. God heard their cries. But if you look, while we're on this topic, I mean, it's a good question, but it's not relevant here, but I'm going to answer it anyway. Reuven, if you look at the names, there was a reason when the names were given, okay, everybody was given with a reason, okay? Reuven, Leah said, Ra'a Hashem es ani, Hashem saw my affliction. Oh no, what's Reuven? Give me just a second. I'm getting going. In Vayetze it says, when Reuven was born here. I was right. Kira Hashem ba'ani, Hashem saw my affliction. Shimon, ki shama Hashem ki snua nechi, Hashem heard that I was hated. Levi, hapam yilove ishi elayim, now my husband will accompany me. Yehuda, hapam eides Hashem. Every one of the shvatim was given a name plus the reason of the name. Okay? What does that mean? Reuven, give you an example. Reuven comes from the word Reu, means to see. Their way of serving God was with seeing. Shimon comes the word Shama. Shimon, way of serving God, is with hearing, which means understanding. There is seeing, there's understanding. Yehuda, for instance, Hapam Eides Hashem, the concept of Haidah, submission, bittul, humility. Each one of the tribes had their own unique way of serving God. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, by the way, there were the Yud Beis Sha'arim, the 12 gates, that corresponded with each tribe. Then there was what was called the Shar HaKolel. There was a 13th gate. That was for all the people that didn't know which tribe they belonged to. Or for instance, a convert doesn't belong to any of the tribes, officially. He's 100% Jewish, but he doesn't belong to Reuven, Shimon, or Levi. So therefore, there was a 13th gate in the Beis HaMikdash that was connected for all people. You know, whoever didn't know where they belonged went into that gate. Therefore, when it came to serving Hashem, the tribe of Reuven served Hashem in a different level of Avodah than Shimon did. Shimon served God differently than Levi, than Yehuda, than Yisachar, than Yisvulun, and all the other tribes. So each one had their own traditions. That doesn't mean they all didn't keep mitzvahs.
So they didn't follow their father's tradition?
Reuven had his own way. Even the Ovis, 1 minute, even Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one of them was different. And the simple proof of this is when you daven the Amidah, you daven Shemon Esrei, right? Right away the Shemon Esrei begins, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. Yeah? The God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. It's the same God. Why didn't Anshei Knesset HaGedola make Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, VeYaakov? What? The God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov? It's the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What's the answer? Each of the others, even Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one of them had their own unique relationship with God. And therefore, Yitzchak is a separate of not only the child of Avraham. Yitzchak had his own unique way of serving God. Avraham served Hashem with love. Yitzchak served Hashem with fear. Yaakov served Hashem with rachmin, with mercy. Each one had their own unique way of serving Hashem. Every Jew, because we are all children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we all have love, fear, and mercy. Because we're children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But a guy that came from Levi didn't serve God the way the guys from Reuven did. It was a different way of serving Hashem. Again, that doesn't mean that they didn't keep all the mitzvahs. Each one had their own unique relationship with God, so to speak. So, yeah, Reuven was Reuven, Shimon was Shimon, and Levi was Levi. What? Right. Now, another thing that Klei Yaakov explains, what does it mean, Ishu Beisi Bo'u? What is the Torah emphasizing? Each man with his family. Yeah, each man came with a family. He said that already before. He says what the Torah is teaching us, that they were pure, meaning they didn't commit adultery, they didn't marry into the Egyptian families, they didn't, you know, intermingle or assimilate with the Egyptians. Ishu Veisi Bo, they came with pure Yiddishkeit, so to speak. They didn't assimilate with any of the Goyim. They didn't marry any of the Egyptian wives. And therefore it's interesting, the Me'am Leyes brings down, when you look in the 70, then Parshas Vayigash mentions all 70 kids, or 70 people that came down with Yaakov. So it says over there that Yaakov married off all his grandkids before they went down to Egypt. But you're talking about a kid, he says, Peretz was 8 years old when he gave birth to Chetzron and Chomel. And one was a year old and one was 2 years old when they went to Egypt. That means Yehuda's son, Peretz, you know, the story with Tamar with the twins, one was Peretz and Zarach. They were Yaakov's grandchildren. Yaakov married off Peretz. They're so young that he had a kid at 8. How can he have a kid at that age? Because it was before Matan Torah. The biological body was different than it was afterwards. Just like Rivka was able to get married at 3, and she was already a shepherd at the age of 3, and so on. So it says, Yaakov Avinu Ishu Beisi Bo, Yaakov Avinu refused that the kid should marry into Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim was Shtufi Zima, they were the most corrupt nation at that time, and Yaakov didn't want that his kid should marry, or his grandkids should marry anybody from Mitzrayim. So the Pasuk is saying, Ishu Beisi Bo, that even when they came into Egypt, and they remained in Egypt, they remained completely Jewish. Then also, okay. But no, only one fifth got out. Hello, one fifth got out.
Okay, one
opinion out? Says 1/50th got out.
You understood me, Rabbi.
Yes.
So what is this level of tumah? What did they do wrong?
What did they do wrong? Later on, as they
did everything right.
Yeah, that's what I said before. There are contradictory medrashim about the levels. Now, even the Memtes Shari Tumah, the 49th level of impurity that the Jews sunk into in Egypt, was because after, I mean, they were there a long time, don't forget. So, altogether 210. So, at the time the Jews were about to go out of Egypt, at that time they did become assimilated.
So you're speaking
the first generations.
Until Vayamas
Yasev Acholachov, like it says later. Who were the names of the, what?
I'm sitting here and...
You are, Baruch Hashem.
Thank you. What strikes me as one of the most unusual things in the history of all mankind is that Israel had all that trouble with Egypt back there where you're learning, God knows how many years ago, you know I don't. And today, Israel, with all its trouble with Arab nations, has no problems with Egypt, has a peace treaty with Egypt, and Egypt does not fire or do anything, guns as Israel. And Israel knows that Egypt is a good neighbor.
Because they taught him a lesson then.
Is that the reason?
Yeah. Okay, who are the 12? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. These are the 12. Vayi kol nefesh yetzei yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh. All the people that came out of Yaakov were 70. V'yetzev hayu b'mitzrayim, and Yosef was still in Egypt. What does it mean? Yosef was still in Egypt. If l'cheira Yosef was counted as one of the 70. So the Pasuk is saying that this teaches us the greatness of Yosef. That even though Yosef was in Mitzrayim, and even though Yosef was a leader in Mitzrayim, he still remained righteous the entire time. That means he was part of the 70, that he didn't lose, you know, this ability to be together with the rest of the Jews. Yeah. Because before in Vayigash, she counts Yosef's kids also. Now Tesis learns that if you count Yosef, you don't have to count Yocheved. So there's a whole argument, how do you count the 70? You know, who makes up the 70? Okay. Now it says as follows, V'yamas Yosef v'chol echo v'chol ader ahu. Yosef and the whole generation died out. Now Yosef was the first of the brothers. And it's just it to me, Amleyes brings down how old each one of them lived. The one that lived the longest, by the way, was Levi, who died at 137. Yosef died the first of all the brothers at 110. But just to give you, for instance, numbers, Reuven lived 125 years, Shimon lived 120, Levi 137, Yehuda 119, Dan 125, Naphtali 133, God 125, Asher 123, Yisachar 122, Zvulun 114, and Yosef 110, Binyamin 115.
How long did Levi live?
Levi was 137. He was the last of the brothers to die. Now, it says, why did Yosef die earlier than all the brothers? So there's a number of reasons. One reason is, we learned before in Chumash, that Yosef, when the brothers were speaking to him, they said, "Your servant, our father." And because he said, "Your servant, our father," so therefore he was punished for listening that Yaakov was called his servant. Another reason, the Medrash says, why was Yosef punished that he died before all the other brothers? Because he embalmed his father. Why did Yosef, we learned before that he embalmed, Yosef embalmed Yaakov. Why did Yosef embalm Yaakov? Because Yosef knew it's going to take a long time until the mourning process stops, 70 days. Then they had to travel to Israel. So he was afraid the body would decompose. So because of that, he embalmed him. But like we learned last, it wasn't embalming of today. It was a form of embalming that was halachically allowed. So the Medrash says that Hashem said to Yosef, Tzadikim don't decompose. So you don't trust me that I'm going to make sure Yaakov remains intact. Why did you have to go embalm him? So because he embalmed his father, he lost the part of his life, and therefore he died at 110. Then there's another medrash that says, that really Yosef was supposed to live 147 years. He was supposed to live 147. Why did he die at 110? Because he donated 37 years to David HaMelech. Now, there's a lot of different medrashim. One thing we know, the Gemara says, and Zayah says, that David HaMelech was supposed to be born dead. It was called Bar Nafla. David HaMelech had no life to him. So the most well-known medrash is that Hashem came to Adam HaRishon and said to Adam HaRishon, there is a great neshama that's going to be born dead. Do you want to donate some life? So Adam HaRishon said, what David HaMelech writes in Tillim, we say every Shabbos and davening, Yemei Sheneisenu Bahem Shivim Shana, the days of our life are 70 years. So Adam HaRishon said, fine, I give him a lifespan of 70 years. So therefore it says, Adam HaRishon died at 130. He was supposed to live at 930, I mean. He was supposed to live to 1,000, but he died at 930 because he donated 70 years to David HaMelech. That's one opinion. Another opinion, the Medrash says, that Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov donated life to David HaMelech.
Why is he supposed to be dead?
Why is he supposed to be dead? I'm just looking at who else donated life. Why was David HaMelech? Because David HaMelech, in Chassidus, see, without Chassidus, you don't know why. That's why David HaMelech learned Chassidus, so he knows. That's why David HaMelech says, we say it in davening, Shamra nafshi ki chosid ani. David HaMelech said, you have to guard my soul because I'm a chosid. If it wouldn't be a chosid, he would have a lot of problems. David HaMelech was the level of Malchus. Okay, David Melech Yisrael. Malchus, it says in Kabbalah, Les lo migamo klum. Malchus is an attribute that has absolutely nothing of its own. Malchus' existence is dependent on the upper six spheres, or nine spheres, depending how you're looking at it, to give existence to Malchus. Chesed donates a little bit to Malchus, Gvura donates a little bit to Malchus, everybody donates to Malchus. That's why, the moon, which is also symbolic of Malchus, and therefore at Kiddush Levana we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, because the moon is the level of David HaMelech, it's all the level of Malchus. The moon also has no light of its own, it only reflects what the sun gives it. So the level of Malchus basically is a level, and by the way, that's why David HaMelech says, also which we say in davening, Ki Ani Ve'evyin Ani, I am a poor man, even though David was a very wealthy king, because the concept of Malchus, which has nothing of its own, is a level of Ani, of a poor man, that has no money of their own, they only get what people give him. So because David HaMelech personified the essence of Malchus, David HaMelech had to be given life, because Malchus has nothing of its own. Women are also the level of Malchus. What? All kings, generally speaking, but especially David HaMelech.
All kings, because they are kings, they have to be dependent on the other kings that are...
Whatever is spiritually, physically, they have to be, Malchus has to be dependent on higher levels. So that's why David was born, going to be born dead, because he had nothing of his own.
So only Golos?
Only what?
Only in Golos, Malchus
depended on... No, David HaMelech wasn't in Golos. Until Mashiach's time, we're all accepting everything. But the Malchus has nothing to do with Dafka in the time of Golus. Malchus by itself has to be receiving from a higher level.
Rabbi,
yep.
I never heard this in all my life. In no shul, wherever I went, David HaMelech lived to be 930 years?
Adam Edition.
Oh, Adam. Oh, I'm sorry.
Not Sandler.
I know that.
His last name was Arishan.
Yeah, not Harry Potter, I know. Why was Adam Arishan given so many years to live? Was there ever a reason?
Hashem was feeling generous.
Huh?
Was there ever a reason? The Gemara, the Rashi, where?
There was nothing else for him to do a whole day. So he rested. Okay. Oh, you know why he lived so long? He didn't have a mother-in-law. Okay, next. Vayamas Yosef. So Yosef died, v'chol Achav and all his brothers, v'chol Ador Ahud, that the entire generation passed away. So now the Pasuk says as follows. Ubnei Yisrael, meaning as the Rashbam says, that generation means the whole 70. The 70, you know, people passed away. Now it says as follows. The Jews, paru, they multiplied, vayishutsu, and they literally from the word shed, it's like they sprouted like bugs. Vayirbu, they became a lot. Vayatma, they became very strong. Bemaid, maid, extremely so. But the earth, the whole land of Egypt became full of the Jews. Now, the Medrash says that there's six expressions in this pasuk, paru vayishutz vayirbo vayatzma b'meid ma'ed, batimale, which means that the women gave birth six at a shot. Every natural normal birth in Egypt, besides the tribe of Levi, that we'll discuss later, but all the other 11 tribes, when they had kids, it was six at a shot. Another reason, another opinion says, not from the six expressions, but from the word vayishutzu. Vayishutzu means that they were like a sheretz, and a sheretz gives birth six at a shot. But they bring down an interesting thing, that an akrov, a scorpion, that Nebuchadnezzar brings down, gives birth 70 at a shot. A scorpion gives 70 offspring at a shot. So it says vayishutzu, that they live like the concept of shirotzim. But it says also vayatzmu b'meid meid, that became very strong and very powerful. There's a whole long Megillah here. It doesn't pay to go through the whole story about Esav's kids went and wanted to take revenge from the Jews, and they went to Africa, and then they wanted to go make a fight against Egypt, and the king didn't let them. Finally, they went, and Esav's kid grandson davened to God to make him win, and he won the war, and finally he started a revolution against the Jews, and the Jews beat him. There's a whole long thing he brings down from Sefer Yashar of what happened in the world at that time. In reference to the Jews. If they want to call their kids bugs, sherets, as if a kavi yishutzu means a bug.
No.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm not Sephardic, in case you didn't know. I don't know, maybe. So now the Das Kein Baal Teis says the following. Why is Taka the Pasuk saying all these six expressions? He says Paru means they had a lot of kids. Now how much? Vayishutzu six. So somebody might think that okay, you had six, but like a lot of times you know, you have multiple births, some of them die. So it says no vayirbu. They multiplied. They didn't die. The kids stayed alive. So you think okay, they're all preemies and very weak and tiny. So it says no vayatzmu. They were very strong. So the Pasuk is not only saying different expressions, the Pasuk is saying that the way the Jewish kids were born in Egypt was not only a lot of numbers, but they were healthy and strong and big and so on and so forth. Vatimali haratzeisim, the whole earth, the whole land of Egypt became full of the Jews because they multiplied so much. Let me ask you a very simple question. isn't the whole concept of any birth an unbelievable phenomenon that's impossible to understand? Yeah? Okay. So what's the answer? God makes it happen. If God makes one, trust me, he can make six. No, really, I'm serious. It's the whole thing of birth is a wonder. It's an unbelievable miracle. So Hashem did it in a way that he can... Now, the Klei Yakud also adds, what does it mean...
Still doing it.
Huh?
Still he's doing it.
Who, God?
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't go on vacation.
No, I'm just saying that we still have 7 and 6 and 5.
Yeah, but that's not so common. Here, everybody had him.
She's saying if it's doable...
Yeah, but I'm saying, you're right. And he brings down also that Devin Ezra brings down that he knows that the doctors told him there was, one woman gave birth to 20 kids in 4 times and they all lived. Wow. That means in 4 births.
5 times each.
5 times each and they all lived. And then he said, yeah, I mean, it was possible. Whatever, the bottom line is, if Hashem wants it to happen, it happened. Now, the only tribe that this didn't happen to was the tribe of Levi. And therefore, if you look later on in Chumash, when they counted the Jews were counted from the ages of 20. Levi was counted from the age of a month. Levi was counted from a month old. All the other tribes were counted from 20 years up. Yet all the other tribes had 57,000, 48,000, all these great numbers. And Levi had 3,000, 5,000, altogether maybe were 10,000. So the question is, Levi's counted from a month, they only had, let's say, 10,000 people, and Yehuda had something like 57, I think, was 1,000. So the answer is, because later on in the Pasuk it says, V'chasheyanu eisam ken yibeh v'chen yifritz. The more the Jews suffered, the more they multiplied. Levi was never in slavery. Levi was never involved in the slavery. Which, by the way, explains how Moshe and Aaron kept going back and forth to Paray. If there were slaves, where did they get the ability and the freedom to go back and forth wherever they want? So the answer is because the tribe of Levi didn't work. Paray gave one tribe, so to speak, 10% of the Jews, that they shouldn't be involved in the slavery. And that was the tribe of Levi. So those tribes that were persecuted in Egypt multiplied a lot. And Levi that didn't, so Levi gave birth normal one at a time. Okay.
In Egypt.
Right. Because Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, they're going to be slaves, they're going to become a big nation. At the same time, Hashem told them about the slavery in Bispein of Sodom, Hashem said they're going to be Kekech Veshemayim. They're going to be like the stars.
Mm-hmm. But why is it labor suffering? It's a blessing.
What, the slavery in Egypt?
No,
not this. I'm saying because they suffered as slaves, so Hashem rewarded them that they multiplied. Okay, so now it says, "Vayakam melachada shal Mitzrayim asher lo yada es Yosef." A new king got up in Egypt that didn't know Yosef. So Rashi quotes the famous argument between Rav and Shmuel. What does it mean, a new king? If it means, one of them says, Chodesh Mamish. One of them says, Mamish, a new king. Why? Because it says, Vayokam, Melech Chodesh, a new king. And the other one says it wasn't a new king. Because it doesn't say the old king died. And always in Chumash it says the old king died and then the new king came. So therefore he learns that it was a king that made himself that he didn't know Yosef. In other words, the Medrash has explained as follows. One opinion says that this new king was a young guy from a different country that came to Egypt, was very, very powerful, rebelled in Egypt, and conquered the land and became the new Paray. Okay? So this guy, Taka, didn't know Yosef. He had nothing to do with Yosef. The other opinion says it was the same king, and the people came to Paray and they said, this nation is getting out of hand and multiplying too much. They're going to go with the enemies and they're going to destroy us from the earth. So he said, how can you bite the hand that fed you? You know, these people in their merit, we had all the prosperity of Egypt. How can you do it? So after a while, they kept doing it, making him crazy until he finally gave in. Another opinion Tosfos brings down that when they told Pari, let's get rid of this nation, Pari said, you can't, so they got rid of Pari. They got rid of Pari and they put another king instead.
Which version is it?
Huh?
Which version is it?
All of the above. Yeah. All of the above. Okay. Now this guy was a brand new king that made himself as if he didn't know Yosef. Okay, so what did he say? Vayemir alame, he said to his nation, Ha inei am b'nei Yisrael, behold the Jewish nation, Rav ha'otzum imenu is stronger than us. So we got to get rid of them. Hello?
Sell.
Sell, hi. So he says, What was I just saying? Oh yeah. So Pari started figuring out how should he get rid of the Jews? So he said, should we punish them with water? Should we punish them with water? He came up with the conclusion that water is the best way to do it. Because God already swore that he's not going to bring another flood. He said, should we punish them with fire? God may bring a fire. Should we punish them? Finally they said, the only way we can punish this nation, is by punishing them with water. So that's what he said. So he says to the people as follows, Hinei am b'nei Yisrael, rava otzum imenu, this nation is much stronger than we are. Hoven nishak malay, let us become smart to him, meaning to the God of the nations. And he should be as follows, Penyir b'lesti will multiply, v'hayinu will be, ki sekrenu milchama, when a war will happen. V'neisiv gamhu al seinenu, they'll add on to our enemies. V'nilchem banu, and they'll fight with us. V'alam min ha'aretz, and will be perished from the earth. Really, they should have said v'alinu min ha'aretz, that we will perish from the world. But they didn't want to say, they didn't want to curse themselves, so they spoke in third person. That, what?
It doesn't make sense. The argument that they'll punish it with water because Hashem won't bring the flood again.
Right. God punishes, okay, we didn't get there really yet. God punishes deed for deed.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the exact same.
Yeah, but they said, if we punish the Jews with fire, like burn the Jews, God can burn us. Should we starve the Jews? God can starve us. There's one punishment that God swore will never happen again. And that was the flood. So the Gemara says they made those two mistakes. The Gemara in Saita says they made two mistakes. One mistake they made is, that God said he will never bring a flood to the world, but he brought them into the water. And secondly, God said that he will not flood the entire world. He never said he won't kill out a nation. So these were the two mistakes that Pari made